This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
When you're good to mama, mama's good to you.
I turn to you like a flower leading toward the sun. I turn to you, 'cause you're the only one.
And when I fall down, I have to pick myself back.
This is Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
Good evening and welcome everyone. I am Michelle Barber and you are listening to Stand Up Straight, where we aim to provide a vehicle for the straight allied supporters to stand up for our GLBT&I communities, to encourage and create greater inclusion, share stories, give advice, create dialogue, or even introduce a new way of thinking. But most importantly, we want to facilitate change towards greater acceptance of our rainbow family in all its shapes and sizes. So tonight, I hear you say, what's on the show, Michelle? So we are. I'm joined by Patrick Whalen-Smith, who some of you might have heard on Joy before. Good evening, Patrick.
Good evening, Michelle.
Hello.
Hello.
So we're going to be talking tonight about women in gay men's lives, role models, fag hags, but we're going to talk a little bit more about that.
When we talk about fag hags, we're not exactly condoning the term, but we'll be discussing its use and also all the other terms. I mean, we've heard dozens now, flame dame, fruit fly. Yeah. I'm sure there are more.
So we're going to also be talking about some female role models in gay men's lives as well, whether it's their mum, their sister, anybody really, and the sort of influence that they've had. Positive and negative, I suppose, as well.
In the development, yeah, definitely.
So tell us a little bit about yourself, firstly, and what you do at Joy, and then we'll delve right in.
Well, I enjoy moonlight walks by the beach. No.
And holding hands.
And holding hands, no. So what I do with Joy, I'm on the show Is Nothing Sacred, which is our opinions talk show that we have on Mondays at 10 o'clock, which is with Jim Hyde and the gang, which is a really great show that I got involved in and now produce. I also do news on Saturday mornings when I can. I've been away a little bit recently, so backing on to doing that during breakfast. And otherwise, I think I sleep here now because I just end up being involved in so many shows and guesting on a lot, which is fantastic. And I suppose my background, I mean, when I came out, I mean, I had a really good, and I still have a really good relationship with my my mother and father and my parents and also from my family. And I was surrounded by a lot of female role models, especially.
I was gonna ask, yeah, a lot meaning sort of how
well, we had... I grew up in a kind of, I suppose, what I like to laughingly call a matriarchal society. And the reason I say that is because I grew up in a dancing school, which is predominantly females in there. I mean, ask how many how many guys that I knew around there. It was probably, I could count them on one hand, whereas women, tons. And so I was very lucky in that regard to be growing up around a lot then. And my grandmother, we talked a little bit about this on the International Women's Day special last week. I talked a little bit about this. But my grandmother was our matriarch, and that was a great relationship that I had as well with
her.
Why
was it so good with her? And that's quite a big age difference. I'm curious why that was so influential.
I think it's because she was one of those people that you you could talk to all the time, that she would always listen and she'd always support. She passed away a couple of years ago, but she was also open for everyone. So she helped open the school. So pretty much I hate to say amusing at a funeral, but it was quite amusing at a funeral, was when they listed the amount of jobs that she ended up having at her eulogy, which was done by my aunt, and she said she's worked as a child psychologist, an accountant. It just went on and on and on, basically all the odd jobs that she had to do. But I think child psychologist was the one that stuck in my head, because a lot of young girls going through any situation there in this type of community needed someone to talk to, and she was always, yep, I'm here, let's chat. Hmm. And that was...
wonder what made... because for her generation, it was probably quite unique, I would think, and rare for her to be as broad-minded, forward-thinking, open to discussion.
I think she was a fairly progressive woman. She got married quite late as well, and when later in life she'd been... I suppose she'd been surrounded always by people that talked a lot, which is odd. I mean, she's a Catholic, so, you know, bottle things up inside, you'd think, normally. But she also had she was quite a progressive woman. I remembered my mum had a friend, a young male friend, who did come out and was rejected by his family. Mm. And unfortunately, it's a sad story. He did die from a HIV-related illness many years later. However, my nana was the one that was kind of just... stuck up for him as a Catholic from that age. So you're thinking that, but she said, I remember she was just like, I found it so disgusting that his parents will go up in a church and speak about God when, you know, I personally, there's nothing very holy about that. And that's something that has stuck with me. I mean, I didn't come out until after she'd passed away, but it was nice that I knew that she had that kind of support for the community in that, even if it was religious, which I'm not. It's terrible. But
no, it's not terrible. No. Do you think that... Do gay men consider their mums as role models in a traditional sense or in some sense at all?
From my experience, I think that they have a stronger relationship with their mothers. Sometimes they can be role models for them. I've been quite lucky. I've got a very strong relationship with both my mother and my father, but I know a lot of young guys who don't have that same relationship with their father than their mother. And I do think they look at it as role models, typically because they are in similar situations. I mean, look at the bare bones of it. Both are seeking, have gotten a partner of that sex. Mm. If we're looking at the bare bones and not much more than that. I think also gay men identify, and I think you've talked about this before, gay men identify a lot with the struggles of women throughout the ages, especially like if you look at any gay role models in media. I mean, the first one that sticks out, obviously, like Judy Garland, a lot of gay men did identify and still identify with that kind of oppression and hardship that women face. And that's something that I think there's a link there. But how that's progressed now, because we're in a lot more open and inclusive community, is interesting to see. For me.
Yeah, it is. And quite a number of people men that I've interviewed have said that they've come out to their mother first. Mm. I wonder, is it just a safety? Because really, if your parents are usually pretty much going to be the same age as each other, roughly. So I wonder why. Is it just a safety? Does it get back to what you said? There's that connection, there's a similarity. I don't know.
I think, and also, when we look at standard gender roles, and I'm not saying that everyone can that's the wrong word. I'm trying to think of the word and it's gone. Subscribes to that, subscribes to those gender roles. But it's often that they view the woman, the female, their mother, the female. I sound so awful. I'm sorry. Their mothers as more emotional, I think, or that they have, of course, that strong connection because she gave birth to you.
Judgmental? Do you think that gets into it as well?
You'd hope so. There are obviously a lot of cases where that isn't the case, but I think that they'd hope, and often that there's not as much judgment. And also because you have a look at what the stigmatization of gay men as effeminate and these type of things. So when you're looking at your father, who is supposed to be your masculine role model, again, we're looking at gender binary roles. Mm-hmm. But, you know, men is considered to be masculine. And this is something that if you come out, you're kind of – it's like – and I don't mean that it is, but sometimes they feel maybe that they're disowning their masculinity. Of course, that's not the case.
That's interesting.
It isn't the case at all because – I mean, we look at we look at homosexuality, of course, you can be masculine, you can be feminine, you can be androgynous like myself, you can be whatever you want. It's just that we've got this idea, these roles in media, in society, in the way that we view ourselves, that gay men are effeminate. So I think that it's a lot easier to come out to their mothers, I suppose, because they feel like they are moving towards that than they're moving towards their femininity.
Yeah. Have you had, and we do have a special guest that we're going to introduce shortly. Have you had to come out to a lot of people, or have you just, as you felt like it, come out to people as you felt it was necessary or required? Or
I think it's more that they already know before I open my mouth. But everyone's nodding. But it's to be fair, I came out to my father. I didn't come out to my mum, but it's just because I automatically knew that she'd accept it. I don't know how I knew, but I just had a feeling that she'd know. My dad, I did more of a formal coming out situation, and I was outed a bit earlier as bi by a family member, which luckily that's come over, but at the time I was very upset. But since then, I don't really come out to people. They kind of know, and if they're, most of the time, they don't even question anything about sexuality, and I don't bring it up that often. But sometimes they do. You do have certain situations where people go, because you're gay, right? And you go, yes. And it's like, because it shouldn't be a huge part of the dialogue for me.
But do women say that more or men say that
more? Men say it more. Yeah. Women couldn't
give a hoot.
Most of the women that I know couldn't give a hoot.
Mm.
Yeah.
Speaking of women. Which we have been and will continue to do.
Yes.
On Stand Up Straight. We have captured our very own, what are we going to call her? Our fruit fly.
Our flame dame.
Instead of calling...
I found her wild and walking around. No. She came of her own consent.
So we're going to talk a little bit about fag hags, which is a terminology that a lot of us have heard for a lot of years. To a degree has an element of a negative connotation. And Patrick highlighted to me another way to phrase that, which we're calling fruit fly. And so I'm going to introduce our resident fruit fly / expert, Helen. Welcome.
Hi.
To Stand Up Straight.
Thank you, Michelle.
Hi. Thank you for joining us. And
not a worry.
I believe that we can probably ask you anything about what it is like to be one of these young ladies.
It's coming up on 15 years experience. Yeah, is you can ask 15? Me whatever you
okay,
like.
Okay, so firstly, and Patrick and I will define this ourselves as well, but how would you define a fag hag or a fruit fly? How would you?
I would define it as a lady who would, in her circle of friends, there would be a high proportion, in some cases a full proportion, of gay men. Or, I mean, I would suppose that it would involve a lesbian section as well. Mm. But I would say when it comes to the term fag hag, it is seen mostly as a lady who hangs out with gay men.
Yeah.
Predominantly.
And I would just like to preface the reason that I brought this particular topic into our discussion about women in gay men's lives is that it seems to be a very large part of gay men's lives. And again, this is only my opinion, my observation. That's the reason that we also want to talk about fag hags are also a positive as well.
Yeah.
So that's the reason why I want to bring it into tonight's discussion.
And also very crucial, I think, sometimes to the coming of age, the rite of passage of a lot of gay men coming out and their lives. And certainly the early years, I know I relied a lot on my friends who are female. That was certainly my thing. And I don't know about anyone else. I'm just gathering it would probably be the same case.
Yeah.
Have you been there to support a lot of gay men who are coming out or questioning their sexuality?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, sometimes it was myself individually. I mean, as I say, it's 15 years. The first gay friend I had was when I was 15 and he came out to me, and it seemed that we spent a lot of time together, and it was a little bit of a, you know, two best friends together. But then I also had a friend in school and he was part of a large group of girls and I was one of those girls as well. And I always remember the lunchtime that he came out and he sort of did it very, very quietly, like whispered it underneath the table. And to me, I was just going,
good.
Next, let's move on. What else do you say? Like, can I have a chip? Thanks. and then I've also, I mean, I would say it's been a good few years since somebody has come out to me or needed support coming out. But definitely in my early teenage years, definitely there were a couple.
Okay, we're going to come back and have a bit of a chat about how you provided that support and why you think people were drawn to you. You are on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9. Be an ally. Talk it out. Educate yourself. Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9. Hi, everyone. You are on Stand Up Straight with Patrick and our fruit fly, Helen. So what we're talking about is role models and women that are in gay men's lives. And we're chatting to you in particular, Helen, about being a fag hag and whether it's a positive or a negative terminology in your
eyes. 15 years experience.
Yes. You could write a book. Hey.
Yeah, I could.
Have you...
Don't read my diary. Pretty much the book.
So there's different terminologies. I've heard people, ladies used or being called handbags. Mm-hmm. Do you, or as an accessory.
Yeah.
Your face is cringing. Yeah. A little bit, yeah.
Again, I think it's... I look at my, you know, wonderful group of gay male friends that I have now, and in no way would I ever feel like I'm an accessory with them. I do sometimes feel like I'm the center of the entertainment, but that's usually because I'm the only girl. And I'm like, oh, wind her up, let her go.
How does that feel then? Because I'm wondering, and tell me, this is, you feel this, do you feel like the center of the attention and it feels great and there's no female competition? Is it a little bit like that?
I do feel that there's a lack of competition, definitely. I'm not someone who's threatened by other, you know, females around me or anything like that. I moved to Australia with a very beautiful friend of mine, and sometimes I would sometimes feel that, well, I might as well be funny because everyone's looking at her. But I mean, it sounds really up myself to say I love being the center of attention. I like it if I'm making people laugh or I'm making someone smile. I'll always feel good about that. Doesn't have to be when I'm with a group of my gay friends. It could be when I'm just with like my mom or my dad or anything like that. But it did happen. It was a few weeks ago. There was a barbecue and I think it was around 11 gay men and me. And at one point someone just said something that sparked. I'd been training in a terrible sales job, and I'm not in that sales job anymore. But they used The Wolf of Wall Street as an example for everything, just everything. And obviously this group of 11 men did not know this. And at one point it was, has anyone seen The Wolf of Wall Street? And I went off. It was like a bomb had exploded. And I went, oh, The Wolf of Wall Street? Oh, really? How do you make a sandwich? I don't know. Have you seen The Wolf of Wall Street? And it was a full minute and a half to 2 minutes.
Rant.
Yeah, a rant. And one guy who I just met, who was an absolute darling, he came over to me and he went, I don't know who you are, but I want you in my life for the rest of it. Thank you.
That was your audition piece.
It was my audition piece. I was wearing a lovely dress at the same time. So that's fun. That is really nice. When I have heard negative stories of the fag hag or the fruit fly being the center of the entertainment, but in a bad way, in a cruel way. You know, it's the girl you invite out who gets so drunk she makes a complete, you know, fool of herself.
Being used as like the monkey.
Yeah.
I hate to say that, but like, yeah, it's like being exactly like reel her out.
I'm very, very fortunate that I have had wonderful friends who've never done that to me, and I've never.
Why do you think they do it?
I don't know. I just think that some people maybe have a slightly sick sense of humor. They wish to be. It's maybe
Schadenfreude.
Yeah,
I can never say it, but
Schadenfreude.
Yeah,
yeah. It's a little bit like that, where they go, "Well, I am insecure about this aspect of myself, but if I look at this girl, and you know, it's the same thing. If I feel a little bit fat and just watch a rerun of Ricky Lake, I feel much better about myself. It's like that. But you do. I think it is just that it does not matter about someone's sexuality. I think that's the core of the human being wrong when they're used like that. Mm. And as I say,
I think it's something that we noticed and we were discussing earlier. Was noticing that when people use the term like handbag and fag hag sometimes in negative ways, mm-hmm. obviously, I mean, that's just further sexual objectification, but it's funny because there's no sexual gratification that's coming out of that.
Yes, that's true. So, and to go back just a tiny smidge, do you wear that fruit fly status as a badge of honour? Would you consider?
I used to have issues with it. I don't think I have issues with it anymore. I think when you look at the people around me, so what if they happen to be gay? They're all wonderful people who, mm. I mean, as you can tell, I'm not Australian.
Where are you from? Like, I don't know. South Africa?
I'm from Scotland. No, I'm not. No offense to anybody from Scotland, but I'm not from your place. I'm from Northern Ireland, and I've only been in Australia for 6 months, and I already have 20 people around me who have been supportive, who have have offered to get me help finding work. Mm. They have taken me out for drinks. They've offered to buy me food, and they are all gay men. So why would when I say that I'm a fruit fly, and my friends are this helpful and this wonderful to me, of course that's a badge of honour. But that took, you know, to get to the badge of honour stage, sometimes I was questioning it.
I'm wondering, Patrick, also, with this, you can probably both answer this because it's both sides of the same coin. Mm-hmm. Did, when coming out as, is a fag hag fruit fly almost like that, that buffer between the rest of the world because it's somebody that's safe to be around, that gets you, or it's like that safe place to fall. You've got friends. It's somebody that you can relate to without it being threatening. All of those, a lot of questions in there.
It's funny. I'd never thought of it that way, but I would agree, actually, now that I think about it. Mm-hmm. When I first came out, I mean, it was almost like people became fag hag by default because they were friends with me, but which is, you know, a little bit.
She's laughing.
Sorry, I'm sorry to those poor women who had to do. Actually, no, I got encouraged to come out by a lot of people because I didn't really know, and they were just like, "You're gay." Which part of me? I mean, I identify as queer now, but even then, you know, at the time, I'm kind of going, "Well, it doesn't quite work, but it'll do for now." And I didn't really look at that. However, going back to your question. I think it was a bit of a buffer because I knew that I wouldn't be rejected. Mm. I knew I wouldn't be rejected. And I had straight male friends at the time who already knew and didn't care. But certainly being out socially, that was something that was good. And I think it was more being rejected by other gay men rather than by the straight community. Yeah, mm. I think it was because I could bring some girls out, go when I was first 18 and went out. I think I did 1 week of like hardcore mainstream gay partying and then went, this is not my scene at all. But, you know, I brought out my friends who were girls, and it was part of feeling like, am I part of this community? Do I belong? Do I feel right here? And it was good because I had friends there. Mm. Since then, I've still gone to gay bars, but usually alone, usually leave alone. No, sometimes, but it's, yeah, I never thought of it that way, but I like that.
Why do I not leave a gay bar alone? Why am I always with someone? I don't understand. I'm joking.
Is there a male version of a fag hag?
Oh, God, yes.
Mm. Is there? No. Is there a name for that?
I don't know.
I think so. We developed one once. I remembered I had a little group of friends. It was my friend Siobhan, who identifies as a lesbian, and my straight friend Tyler. And they worked out, and unfortunately, we've forgotten the term that Tyler was to me, because Siobhan was my fag hag, which she wore with pride, and Tyler was her lesbro, which is the lesbian equivalent for that. But I don't remember.
We will see if we can find out.
If you've got one, please email in on onair@joy.org.au or SMS 0427 joy 949.
Question without notice. Mm. Do you think, as I'm going to say straight women because, and I know I don't like saying that anymore, but as straight women, do you think straight women, fag hags, we are the ultimate ally?
I wouldn't necessarily say we're the ultimate ally. I would say that we are an ally, definitely, as put upon members of society, because there are, you know, being a woman and being a gay man. I mean, the most famous aspect of a comparison even is the fact that the film Brief Encounter, which is about a woman going through inner turmoil and falling in love with someone who she shouldn't fall in love with, was written by a gay man. And it's seen as one of the greatest female roles that you can play, playing Celia Johnson. I forget her name in Brief Encounter, but Celia Johnson played her in the film. So I think there is, I mean, back to what Pat was talking about earlier, it's the, it is that sort of even just the normative aspects of like, well, women like men, well, straight women like men and gay men like men. So there's that almost that really simple.
That's automatically that.
Yeah, that bond. To say that we are the ultimate ally, in a way, I don't want to even say that because I think we should be allies to everybody.
And we are. Yeah. And in this place, like Joy 94.9, mm-hmm. you're going to find that. But in the big, wide and sometimes ugly world, there is no ally for a gay man and that he could find. So if you've got a fag hag, fruit fly, if that may very well be the only ally that they have.
Yeah.
And I suppose I think maybe even on a subconscious level, we don't consider ourselves allies, but in fact we are maybe the strongest type of ally because we have quite close and intimate, not that way, but close and intimate relationships with gay men that most, you know, maybe your families don't have or, you know, your friends and that kind of thing. But we're quite privy to a lot of information and about our gay friends that most people would never be.
I know that I sometimes, like, I feel like I have a really close relationship with my family, but then there's that extra level of closeness that I do get, and that's often with female friends, such as Helen Murphy right next to me. But, I would think that they're one of the most ultimate allies. I consider a lot of, I consider people who identify as fruit flies or fag hag or anything like that. Fag hag I find kind of a negative term personally, but anyone who occupies that space as a female ally to gay men, to gay women, anyone, I think is a very strong ally.
I actually don't like the term. If somebody said to me, you're a fag hag, I would be really peed off.
Yeah.
I don't like it. To me, it has a negative connotation.
It pushes this idea that you are, that firstly, I mean, the term hag, that you're unattractive. And I mean, it adds also fag as well, which can be used as a term of oppression.
Yeah.
So it's got those two together. And it was simply because, look, these two work together. Let's slide them together and it rhymes.
And it's also seen as, you know, a woman who is a fag hag is a woman who can't get her own man. So she has a non-intimate relationship
Has that happened to you?
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of the time.
Is it by other gay men? Is it by straight men?
I would say that some of my, you know, quite close straight gay friends even have mentioned to me, it's like, well, maybe you should try going out and doing something with some straight people. And I have tried that. And I've had it from my very close female friends have done that. My brother has told me to do this as well. People who I was romantically involved with have mentioned it, sometimes subtly, sometimes really not subtly, and he came across looking like a horrible person, which he was.
But in that case, why would you think he would say that? Is it because do you think he was threatened by gay men? Like, did he think that he had an issue with it, or was more that he found that you had a really close relationship with other men? And he found that a bit disconcerting, maybe that it wasn't just for him.
I know, it's an interesting way to
look at it. Men are the same everywhere.
Yeah.
That's a controversial statement, Patrick.
Well, yes, it is. It was a bit of a bomb, but we'll get back to it. We'll get back to it shortly.
We will. You're on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9 with Patrick, Michelle and Helen. Yay.
You're listening to Michelle on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9. She's my mum.
Hi, you are on Joy 94.9 Stand Up Straight with Michelle, Patrick and our... What are you? Come on, Helen, what are you?
I'll just say I'm a fag hag.
Yeah, we're going to own it now. Woo-hoo! We just burst Matt's eardrums on the other
sorry,
side of the desk there. And
I'm not sorry, Matt.
And guys, we put the question up before, what was a male version of a fag hag? And thank you, Mr. Bruce out there. He has said, I have a fag stag.
I like that. I mostly have fag stags, so I'm looking forward to telling them that. I think they'll be... disappointed. No, they'll be over the moon.
And from Mark, he was a dyke Mike. He had mostly lesbian friends when he was 22. And we've had a flurry of messages. This is fantastic. Someone, sorry, I don't know who has sent this in. I hate the term fag hag. I much prefer, and wait for it, guys, Queen's Council. Yay, I think that's top of our list today. Yeah. I think we like that one. And from someone else, under this new era of freedom of speech, these terms may be accepted as the norm. That's absolutely true. So maybe true. In 10 years' time, we won't even be thinking that this is any kind of offensive term. It's just part of the, you know, everyday speech. Yeah. And we have had from Stephen, why should sexuality come into it? Friends are just friends. If you enjoy someone's company, isn't that what it's all about? And that's spot on.
Yeah.
Words of wisdom mm-hmm. from a slightly older gentleman, Stephen.
That was about as subtle as a brick.
He's probably throwing something at the radio right now.
No, so, what Stephen says, I completely agree with. And I have to say that is actually an argument that I have quite a lot for those people who say, why do you have so many gay friends? And I was like, well, and it's also especially coming to a new country. And I'm not given a lot of grief, but the fact that I have accumulated quite a lot of gay friends again. But the thing is that I have tried speaking to straight men. I have tried speaking to girls, and they don't like me very much.
Oh, come on. You have been successful.
Been successful. I've met one straight male friend. I'm joking. It's awful. No, but it is like that. It's who you get on with. It's the sense of humor you have. And something stupid as the music you like as well.
Yes. Has anybody ever said to either of you that you're a waste or it's a waste? Like, so for you, Helen, you might be out at gay nightclubs and, you know, it's a waste of your time. You're not going to find a husband or a partner or whatever. And Patrick, for you as a gay, you know, have you had women say, oh, it's such a waste, you're so pretty, you're such a waste?
Never.
I've heard that.
Never. Oh. I'm sorry. They know I am, you can see my flames from space. It is, it's a bit upsetting, but no, I actually get what a waste from lesbians.
Why?
Because I'm very androgynous and often they believe that I am a lesbian. In fact, it happened quite recently at a show called Status, story. Which was produced by Michelle and one of the actresses there. I saw on stage and said, oh my God, that guy is gorgeous. And then she came up to me later and we were chatting and she said, I have to make a confession. I said, what? She said, I actually thought that you were a girl. Because I went up to my girlfriend and went, oh, there's this babe in the audience. Which is nice. I've always wanted to be a lesbian. And now I've gotten the approval.
Yes.
Which is great. Have you ever had that one from lesbians, Helen?
I have. So it's, if you're
my mother has actually.
Yeah. And it is one of those things. I think sometimes it's really complimentary and it is lovely to be considered attractive by anybody. It's lovely.
Yeah.
But I have had slightly kind of exhausted responses to it. And I was like, oh, actually, I'm straight. And
what do you mean by exhausted responses?
I think because it's probably the same everywhere, but where I come from, there were basically three bars you could go to if you were a gay man or a lesbian. So if I went with my friends who I would go out with regularly, sometimes girls will come up to me and I'm a friendly person, so I'm always going to chat. And if they start saying, you know, oh, can I get your number? Can I buy you a drink? And I just go, yes, I'm not a lesbian. And they're never, it's never been aggressive, but you do get the, oh, I'm
Hello, start again.
Girl. I do know that it must be quite difficult as well for lesbians in Melbourne because there isn't actually a lesbian venue in Melbourne. We've there is a lot of gay male venues, but there isn't a lesbian venue. There are lesbian nights.
Mm.
But and then you look at, I mean, there is a certain venue and several venues that, though, will reject women or have preference towards men, and you've got, like, separate lines and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I wonder, as someone who is a very close friend with a lot of gay males, do you find that sometimes that do... I mean, anyone would find it excluding, but does that affect you quite a bit, do you think, when there's these venues that are just... This is for men and men only.
I personally don't take it. I'm not offended by it, and I don't feel that it cordons me off in any way, shape, or form. Because I think I look at it as I'm a heterosexual. There is no shortage of places that I can go. It's absolutely fine.
I suppose though, in the reverse, gay men can go to any place anyway. It's not like we've got a beeper that when we walk in, it's
exactly. Beep, 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 beep. But I mean, I know that there are some times where I kind of just roll my eyes, going, "Yes, okay, I won't come with you to that club. That's fine. I don't care." I personally don't find it offensive, but I'm sure there are some people that go, it is excluding.
Yeah.
And they would take that on themselves.
There's another terminology that I've heard, and it's probably got different definitions, that by gay men that they might call their best girlfriend their wife. And I know Matt Thompson is my panelist, and he's sitting a couple of feet away from me now, and he's probably got an opinion on this. Welcome to the show, Matthew.
Oh, thank you very much. It's great to be here, Michelle.
So you've heard that terminology, and I know I use it.
I use it myself with my best friend, who is a straight lady. She is my wife. She will always be my wife, and that's just kind of how it is. I use the term because it's not... Although marriage isn't very important to me, by bestowing that term upon her, it almost signifies, if you're going through like the heteronormative social conventions, she is the most important thing in my life. And that is so incredibly true with Kimberly.
Is that like the highest honour that you could bestow? That sounds very grandiose. Yeah. But is that... And would she... Does she know that because you used that terminology to describe her, does she realise that that is... a huge deal?
I think so. And the same goes for her. She calls me her husband. So we are just a husband and wife, and we're just an...
You're her husband.
She's never called me that, but I might tell her that phrase. She might like it a lot.
Yeah, I've taken it on board because I have a husband as well. And he lives in Leeds.
how many husbands do you have?
One and a half.
Oh, that's good.
Hang on. One and a half?
No, there's one who's
all
like...
the rest are mistresses.
He's borderline. He's almost a husband to me now.
Helen, as our resident fruit fly or fag hag or whatever we're calling you, I actually have a question for you that I've been meaning to ask you. So my wife, Kimberly, she always says she feels like a gay man in a woman's body. She identifies with so many of the ways that I feel and all these different things. So I wonder, are you a fag hag because, A, you identify in similar circumstances with gay men, or are you just attracted to gay men socially, of course?
I would say it's a personality blend. I mean, because I have a lot of gay male friends, and some of them are really geeky, and some of them are quite they're quite obsessed with the gym. Yep. There are some of them that are like really sophisticated and, you know, upscale, and then there's Patrick.
That's me. I joke.
But no,
I used to
think that I was a gay man trapped in a woman's body, but I frankly have never had a protein shake in my life, so I'm
she's
not.
Great. You're coming back. Speaking of coming back, we've got to go for a really, really quick break, and we're going to come back, wrap up, have a few more giggles on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
Hey, this is Matt, and I'm a producer at Stand Up Straight, and as a gay man, I've never pushed a woman's buttons. Until now. You're with Michelle on Joy 94.9.
The dancing Michelle, the dancing Patrick, and the dancing Helen on Stand Up Straight on Joy. We have had another message in from, and I'm sorry, I don't know who it's from. I watched Prince on an awards show recently. His androgynous style always inspired me growing up. That's a really interesting comment, isn't it?
I like it because it finishes off with identity today is flexible and fluid, and that is definitely something that I totally agree with, that identity is flexible and fluid, especially gender identity and how you show off your gender and how it's different from your sexuality. And I love that. Personally, my one's Grace Jones, lovely, lovely messenger.
Oh, wow.
My one is Grace Jones, my androgynous role model.
I agree.
Yes, maybe it's because I am a black woman trapped in a white gay man's body. But, you know.
Hey, I'd pull up to your bumper.
Pull up to my bumper, baby.
Matt doesn't know that song.
we'll train you later.
Kimberly will tell you about it.
So, Helen, have you got words of wisdom for any potential fruit flies out there?
That are gestating.
Yes, or good. Or that think they might be, should they or shouldn't they? What would you...
I would say trust your instincts about the person, because I am someone who has gone through a lot of groups of friends in her time, and that's because I didn't read them properly. And I am with a wonderful group of friends now, and I might be a fruit fly to them, I might be a fag hag to them, but I know I've made friends. And I say, trust your instincts, whether you've made a good friend first, and then that's something I'd always tell you to look at.
I'm interested, just as an additive to that, I know that something that I find a little bit difficult is sometimes when women sometimes go up and say, can you be my gay best friend? And I think that's something you have to forget, that there's a sexuality part of it. It's just, as Stephen rightly put it earlier, it's just being a friend and being an ally. Mm. Being a very
and a token. I don't.
It's not a token,
And I'm not a status symbol. It was, whenever I was younger, it was seen, oh, well, I've come out, I need a fag hag now.
But no.
No, it's not. I'm pushing 30.
I'm sorry?
Do you know how much that is in gay years?
So, I had a great, great time in the studio this evening. So I want to thank you, Helen, for being a fabulous, spectacular fag hag fruit fly. And Patrick, for sharing a little bit of your story and yourself. Thank you very much. And so we have up next a Spirit Lounge with Joy, Tal and Rachel. I'll leave you with your weekly challenge. What will you do this week to stimulate dialogue, create change or encourage involvement? You've been listening to Michelle Barber on Stand Up Straight on Joy
9.9. Straight has a podcast, so check it out at the Joy website, joy.org.au.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.